I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Sunday morning service, and certainly want to welcome you to worship. We, as the church staff, we are striving to go ahead and maintain absolutely the most normal part of worship services as we can. I'm very grateful to Ashley and John for being able to come and play the piano and be a part of the music program. And then we are striving to keep everything as connected as possible between us and you. We want to minister to you. I have, during the announcement time, a little short video showing the little food shelf ministry we have to minister to your families and your friends. And then also, of course, you know that Rachel and Ashley are doing the preschool for the essential workers' children. So we are staying very busy trying to keep everything going and ministering to our congregation, but for sure miss our regular church. And I know that you miss coming and fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We miss seeing you and praying with you, and we are praying for you. So don't hesitate to reach out to us. I pretty regularly am taking phone calls and talking to folks, praying with them over the phone, depending upon what's going on in their lives. So don't hesitate to reach out. But we welcome you to this morning's services. It's Palm Sunday. Every year for Palm Sunday, we pass out these little palm crosses. And this year, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to mail these to you for Easter Sunday, because it's the empty cross. Because we know Easter is about the celebration of the resurrection. Palm Sunday is the Sunday that celebrates our Lord Jesus Christ entering into Jerusalem, the people crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And we're gonna touch on all of that when we get into the message this morning. But let's open up our worship hour. Let's open up with a word of prayer right now. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd be with us as we come into worship. I ask that it would be your Holy Spirit that speaks to hearts through your word, through the songs, through prayer. For truly, Lord, we want you to be exalted. And at the exact same time that we want to lift you up, we want to minister to our congregation, our people. And I just pray that you would do that, because you're not confined to a building. You're everywhere at all times. You're with every brother and sister in Christ around the world right now. And I pray that you'd be with our Victory Baptist Church family right now. Some of them are very afraid. I pray that you would comfort their hearts, help them to sense and know your presence. Lots of our folks are very confused. None of us have ever seen anything like this in our lives. I pray that you would help us to just rest in you and know that you are God. I just pray for your guidance in this worship hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, John and Ashley are going to come up. They have some songs for us. All Glory, Laud, and Honor, and Wonderful Grace of Jesus, and Wonderful Merciful Savior. I encourage you, sing right there in your living room or wherever it is that you are worshiping right now. Sing along with them that we might worship together and lift up the Lord's name.
Amen. Well, let's lift up our voices together as we begin by singing Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
thank you very much. That was a blessing to sing those songs together. And certainly I hope at home you were able to lift up your voices and make a joyful noise. And if not, if you just weren't quite into it, you're not quite comfortable singing out in your living room, then hopefully, Lord willing, it ministered to your heart and into your soul as we sang. Of course, the announcements this morning are primarily for you to pray for one another. Be praying for our nation, our world, as we go through this COVID-19. I pray that God would give wisdom and skill to all these scientists and biologists, that they come up with exactly the right concoction to fight this back. And then, of course, we need to pray for our economy. Lots of folks out of work, which ties us into the food shelf that we have set up down in the fellowship hall there. And so at this time, we're going to do just a little walkthrough of the church ministries. Brother John and I are going to put that video together, and we're going to show you the little food shelf, going to show you the preschool, working with the boys and girls, maybe even take you for a little bit of tour around the building just so that you don't forget what Victory Baptist Church looks like after several weeks of not coming and worshiping together. But we want you to feel connected to your church and to its ministries. Good morning. I just wanted to take you through a quick tour of the church just to remind you so that you're ready when we're ready to come on back. I'm actually walking into the foyer right now. John, if you want to go all the way down, we're just going to come down through. Remind you of our sanctuary. Remember, we are so blessed. It's ready. It's clean. It's set up. We're ready for you. Then we're going to walk right down through here. We're going to take a right down the hallway, the stairs down below. And we're going to go into the fellowship hall, and I'm going to show you our food bank. So this is Ashley, our secretary. She's standing out here in the hallway texting. That's kind of what folks do at that age. Oh, no, actually, she's manning the restrooms for the essential workers' children's. So as we come in here, we have the food shelf all set up. We've got this in place so that we can help your families. We want to have the opportunity to be able to minister to you. And so if you have a need, give us a call. We'll go ahead and put that together for you. And then we'll pop over here. So here is where we're doing our child care for essential employees. In fact, if you look right over here, we have a mom with her children picking them up at the end of the day. And then, of course, this is Rachel and Ashley. They've worked hard all day long. And if you'll notice, Rachel especially blushes easy, and she's in full blush right now. So that's all I wanted to do, is take you quickly through. Remind you, we are busy. We're keeping at it. We're available. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. Have a great day. And by the way, John just reminded me. Be sure and go, when you're live streaming us on Facebook, be sure and like us. And then, I don't know what you call that, launch us to your friends.
Share it.
Share it to your friends. And that way we can get the gospel out there as much as all we can. So, again, good to have you with us this morning. God bless. Other than that, I think we are ready to go ahead and turn it back over to John and Ashley. They're going to sing Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, and the Old Rugged Cross. So the Old Rugged Cross part, I wanted to mention to you that maybe you'd like to call into the church office. Tell us what would be the hymn you would like us to include in our worship service. Text us, email us, call in, whatever you'd like to do. The Old Rugged Cross this morning is my request. I was talking to my mom, who's 84 years old, and she mentioned that my grandfather's favorite hymn was the Old Rugged Cross. And I told her, I said, well, Mom, if you'll go ahead and live stream us this Sunday, we will sing your dad's favorite hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. So I want to encourage you, reach out to us. Let us know what song would you like us to include in a service so that when you live stream, you hear yours or somebody who maybe you miss, you love, their favorite hymn. So this morning it's mine. Maybe next week it'll be yours.
Well, let's lift up our voices as we sing Hosanna, loud Hosanna. These words have been changed to fit the theme of the Palm Sunday, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. But it's to the tune of I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
appreciate that very much. And I know that this morning we're getting ready for John and Hillary to sing a special for us this morning. Hillary came by the office after her job this week, and John and her came up and sang so that they could minister to you in song. And also, you know, I just want to thank those who have made all of this possible, our services and the way they work. Even the opening video, Jeremy Foster, he had done that several years ago for us. And it's kind of the opening part of it's on our webpage. And as we were getting ready to put together our services for this time with the COVID-19, I told John, I said, you know what, I want to open every service with that video. We're coming together, up Route 7, we're coming together to Victory Baptist Church, we're coming together to worship the Lord. It might be by live stream, but you know what? We are still coming together. And I'm so grateful for the wonderful job he did with that video and everybody else who is working to have our services go well through this time. And we are genuinely looking forward to when we can all come back together. So, getting ready to turn it over to John and Hillary for them to minister to us in song.
With my hands in the air at the top of my lungs, my heart will sing out that it is He who comes in the name of the Lord. With my hands in the air and my eyes filled with tears, behold the Son, what love has given Him here in the name of the Lord.
In fact, if you notice our Palm Sunday banners back here, blessed is he, Hosanna in the highest. Great banners. I have for you a palm right here, actually. And I already mentioned to you that we're going to be mailing to you on Monday upon cross. And this reminds us of the empty cross, because our Lord Jesus Christ crucified, buried, resurrected next Sunday, celebrating Easter Sunday. But this morning, we're recognizing the triumphal entry into Jerusalem by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the title of my message this morning is The Hope in Hosanna. The Hope in Hosanna. So Hosanna actually is an Aramaic word. It comes from the Hebrew word, which is the same word of salvation and hope. The Aramaic word was used as an exclamation of praise, hope, and salvation. And so you see that as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. If you listen, you'll hear in the text that I read for you in Matthew 21, verses 1 down through 11, you'll hear the folks cry out, Hosanna. So listen as I read. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, and a foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them clothes, and set him thereon. The clothes, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So as we look at this text, we find these people in Jerusalem welcoming Jesus Christ into the city. It says that they took palms off of the trees and laid them into the street. They took their garments off. They took their coats and their jackets and they laid them down for him to come up that pathway coming in. So each of us, as we look back in time at that event, we see these folks crying out, it tells us in the verse 9. It says, And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So it's that Aramaic exclamation of praise and salvation as they're seeing Jesus come in. You and I, as we look back, we see these folks with excitement looking to Jesus coming into Jerusalem. They're looking with this hope and expectation that he is going to usher in the millennium. He's going to usher in this victory, this freedom, this salvation. Now, of course, you and I know that Jesus is not coming to set up an earthly kingdom, is he? But instead, he's entering into Jerusalem to prepare to die for our sins. Your sins and mine. And every person from Wuhan, China, to Spain, Portugal, to the United States. It doesn't matter who they are or where they are or what time, what decade, century it is. He died for all human beings. So his purpose, his intent, as he comes into the city, is to give the greatest gift, the gift of salvation. They're looking for another gift. They're looking for freedom from the Roman Empire, freedom to go ahead and usher in a system that would be governed by the scriptures. And all of that will come to pass, but not at this time. He's wanting to bring in salvation for the soul. I want to bring you in your Bible to the book of Psalms. Turn with me there, if you would, to Psalm 37. Because I want you to see the hope that they felt that day. That hope and that expectation. Because they were living under hard times, oppressive times, difficult times. And they were looking for Jesus to usher in for them this new age, this new time. Now we know he was getting ready to give them the greatest gift of all, which is eternal life. But in their heart, they're looking for yet a different kind of freedom and hope. You and I that are living here today, in the year 2020, you and I today, living in the midst of this COVID-19 shutdown, listen, I want you to know that in our hearts and in our lives is also hope and expectation. We have every right to cry out, Hosanna, and to celebrate that our God offers to us salvation and freedom and joy. As we come to Psalm 37, we look into the window of time, looking back at these people, these Hebrew people. And here when we look at Psalm 37, we find the words of hope, of expectation, almost the words of Hosanna in verses 1 down through 8 of Psalm 37. Look with me as I read you this text. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." When we look at this text here in Psalm 37, we find 6 different points coming down through here. Points of Hosanna, points of celebration, points of encouragement. And this morning, you and I, as we usher in Christ into our hearts and our lives on this Palm Sunday, I want you to look with me at these 6 points of encouragement. Because no matter where you are right now, whether you're sitting in your living room or maybe at your kitchen table with a device set up and you're watching, or maybe, as I mentioned the other day, somebody said they were all snuggled in their bed with their coffee and they were watching on electronic device their Sunday morning service. Wherever you are, I want you to know that when we look to the scriptures, we can cry out Hosanna. We can celebrate that Christ is with us and in us. The first one I want you to see, the very first point we have, is the very first verse of Psalm 37. It says, "Fret not thyself." Fret not thyself. In other words, don't worry, fret, and stew about what's going on around you. In fact, I want to take you to the Gospel of Matthew. Please go there with me if you would this morning. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 and a very, very encouraging text from our Lord. In fact, my favorite verse, my life verse, is Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But I want to show you the whole text of Matthew 6:25 through 34, because I want you to see that the Lord is with us. And we need to not fret and worry and stew. Listen to what he says to us here in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to pick it up at verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's such a powerful truth for you and I to learn not to fret and to worry and to stew about everything going on. There's many people who are slipping into a sense or a state of depression, whether a little or a lot, because none of us really know when the end of this COVID-19 situation is going to end. But each of us take it one day at a time. That's what he tells us right here in Matthew 6:34. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. You see, tomorrow's going to come. He says to us, you know what? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day, we handle what we have. But we don't fret and worry, wring our hands and weep about what we don't know is going to come tomorrow or the day after or the day after. But instead, even as Matthew 6 says, we look to him. Just as the birds look to be fed by him. Just as the flowers look to be adorned by him. Listen, the Lord knows your situation. Rest in him. Trust in him. He's going to go down and talk about that in this text in Psalm 37. Look with me at the second point as we move down in our text. I'm going to read you verses 1, 2, and verse 3 has our second text. Let's just jump right down to verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so that thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Oh, listen, God wants you and I to sing out Hosanna. He wants us to cry out and to raise up our hands, even as the song talked about. He wants us to express our praise, our hope, our trust in his salvation. He tells us, learn to trust in the Lord. Why? Because he will provide those things that we need in our lives. It's interesting, Matthew 6 says, isn't life so much more than meat and raiment? You and I that have the Lord in our heart and our souls, we know life is so much more than that. We look at the world around us and, you know, the people in Vermont, they have food and they have clothes, but they're still afraid because they lack hope, peace, faith. Life is so much more than meat and raiment. You and I, we need the satisfier of the soul. We need the Lord. So he tells us in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. It's so wonderful that God tells us, trust in him. But you and I need to be a conduit to do good. You see, he wants to provide through us. As you saw the little tour we did of the church, kind of keeping you in touch with your church and the things your church is doing, the food shelf is us doing good for our church and our community. the preschool caring for essential employees? Is our church doing good for our church and our community? So when you look here and he says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, it's because God wants to work through us, every one of us. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. You and I, our lives as the temple of God becomes that access of God being a provider, showing others you can trust in Him because His people and His servants will be about His business. So we cry out, Hosanna. We celebrate in Him. For He does provide that which we need, for life is so much more than meat and garment. As we come down in our text, look with me, if you would, at verse 4. And we come to the third of our points. Listen to what it says. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You see, that's part of that Hosanna. Delighting in the Lord, celebrating, rejoicing in who He is and how He works in our hearts and our lives. It's interesting when we go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather they into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they, the text says? I find it so interesting each year how the wildlife advisors kind of, they put out some information for us every year. People who want to feed the deer, they say, please don't feed the deer because we interrupt their natural means of foraging and eating. They tell us, please don't feed the bears. Why? The Lord's going to take care of the bears. You don't need bears coming up and eating off your back porch and all that kind of stuff. They say, please don't feed the bears. And, you know, even the birds, they let us know. They say, you know, if you start feeding the birds and then stop during the worst part of the winter, you've really put them in jeopardy because they get used to you and I feeding them. And then all of a sudden that food source is gone and they have to go back to the way that God provides for them. And some of them are ill prepared to do that. So they warn you, if you're going to interrupt their normal cycle that God provides, you're supposed to do it all the way through so that you don't disrupt that. You see, the Lord has a system. He created nature. Nature didn't create us. God created us, and He created nature. And He tells us here, He says, listen, delight yourself in the fact that the Lord does provide, that He does give to us that which we need, even the very desires of our hearts. Delight in Him. Know that He is going to get us through this valley. We will come out the other side with the Lord. We must rest in Him and find our strength, our peace in Him, because He is God. As we come down through the text, I want you to look with me at verses 5 and 6. And here you find the fourth of our points, verses 5 and 6. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Don't you love it that as we lift up our voices and we sing Hosanna to Him, as we welcome Him and rejoice in His work and His presence in our life, it tells us, commit ourselves to His way. Commit ourselves that He might do that work in us and through us. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You and I each day, I want to challenge you. As you wake up each morning, wherever it is, maybe you're an essential worker and you're having to get up and you're having to go out. Maybe you're nervous about that. Maybe you're working in the medical field, or you're working in a grocery store. Maybe you're exposed every day to a higher probability of encountering this virus. I want you to know that every day when you start your day, you can commit yourself to Him and trust in Him and know that His will is the right will and walk in Him and trust in Him each step every day. As your pastor, when I wake up in the morning and I come to consciousness, I start my day in prayer every day. And I ask the Lord, Lord, watch over Sandra Joe and I. Watch over our church family, our children, our grandchildren, our nation. I ask God to be with us. I commit us all to Him every day as we start the day. Because He is God. I'm not God. The scientists, the chemists, the biologists, they're not God. The politicians, certainly not God. There's only one God, one true and living God. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, I challenge you to commit your heart and life to Him. I was reading an article in World Magazine that's sent to me by electronically each day. And in there was an article about doctors over in Italy. And one of the young doctors, only in their late 20s, early 30s, one of these doctors had gone ahead and done an interview and said, you know, I have lived my life as an atheist, opposed to God. But he has been working in the hospital with these COVID patients and seeing in Italy hundreds and hundreds die. And he said, me as a doctor and many of my co-workers, we have come to the place where we realize this is way beyond us, and we are turning back to God. He said, I'm no longer an atheist. I am looking to God. I challenge you, just as that doctor in Italy has gone ahead and turned his heart back to God, I challenge you, commit your heart and soul to the Lord. Christ died on the cross for you and for me, that we might turn from our sins and call upon Him and receive Him in our hearts. He wants to give us eternal life, hope, and peace. He wants to guide us in our lives as we seek to walk with Him. And even as that young doctor said, all of this is so much bigger than any of us. We need to turn to Him. I want you to go down with me in our text in Psalm 37. And as we cry out, Hosanna, as we cry out and welcome Him into our lives, I want you to look down at our fifth point, which is in verse 7. Here you find the text saying, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of those who prosper, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says for you and I, listen, rest and wait on the Lord. Stop looking at everybody else or every other time or every other generation. Look at where you are. You personally. Maybe this morning, you are cuddled up in your home and you're warm. Thank the Lord. I mean, wow, there are people around the world who are far less blessed. We need to rest in Him and wait upon Him. It's interesting when we look at this text, He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, maybe you're at home right now and you're not warm, and maybe your heat is not good. Maybe you don't have enough food. Please call us at the church. We have food. We want to help you. You know, we want to help make sure that you're okay. If you're part of Victory Baptist Church, we will do everything within our means and we will pray for God to intervene. I need you to trust in the Lord. I need you to wait patiently upon Him. Oh, don't get me wrong. I understand. There's a lot of folks who they're going stir crazy at home. I am married to a gal who is she's a pretty hard driver. She's pretty tough to get to sit down and be still, even when she's very ill. She looked at me the other day and she said, Tim, today is 4 weeks since I've gone anywhere other than a short little ride in the car. I said, I know. And just inside her, it's just not her way. She is, even when she's struggling with her lung disease, she still wants to do things and be busy for the work of the Lord and in life in general. But you know what? Whether it's Sandra Joe or me or you, we have to rest and wait on the Lord. He is the one who will give us that peace that passeth understanding. He is the one who will walk through the very valley of the shadow of death with us. He is the one who, while he went through his 40 days of fasting, he came out the other side rejoicing. You and I, we have to learn to rest and wait on him. He is able. He is able to go through this with you. Let him speak to your heart. Let him minister to you. Spend time in his word. Have times of devotion. Have times of meditation. Have times of prayer. I want to bring you down to the last one. I want you to look with me at our sixth point, and that is in verse 8. Look with me down there. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. This is a verse that's very appropriate for our time. Because there's little doubt in my mind that there's lots of folks who are hitting kind of the end of their patience. They're hitting the end of their tolerance. You know, they're being a little bit snippy. Maybe a little snappy. You know, they might be barking out the orders and no longer being patient with others. You might be right on the edge. And I want you to know that God says to each of us, calm down. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Listen, whatever's going on in your home or your job, whatever's going on with all the stress and all the unique circumstances of this time, I challenge you to lay aside the anger, the wrath. Don't let the sun set upon it. Resolve whatever takes place in your day between you and your spouse and your children, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers. We have each other. And we need to work with each other as God guides us and directs us in our hearts and in our lives. Listen, we do cry out, Hosanna. We do celebrate in Christ coming into our hearts and in our lives. Him working and abiding, guiding and interceding for us. There's so much that we look to Him for in salvation and hope and in rejoicing. We do cry out, Hosanna. As we look at this text of Psalm 37, verses 1 down through 8, we see these 6 points that we can grab a hold of and just weave them in, embroider them right into that word Hosanna. Fret not. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. Commit thy way to Him. Rest and wait upon Him. And lay aside anger. Lay aside wrath. That He might live in and through you. I encourage you as we wrap up this worship service on Sunday morning of Palm Sunday. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, please do that today. In fact, it's really a very simple thing. You recognize yourself as a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you simply look to God with a sincere heart, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, we confess that unto salvation. So we simply go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe in You as the Savior, and I receive You as my Savior into my heart and into my life. As we end this service this morning, pray along with me. If you have never prayed and asked Christ into your heart, please do that with me right now as I bow my head. Pray along with me. Father in heaven, this morning I look to You and I cry out, Hosanna. You, Lord, offer to us all the hope and the peace and the salvation. Lord, I am a sinner. I ask that You forgive me. And I, with the sincerity of my heart, call out to You. Save my soul. Come into my life. And I thank You and praise You by faith. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you this morning have prayed that prayer, email us so that we can send you a follow-up booklet, so that we can minister to you. When we can get back together, we'll worship together. But I do want to celebrate with you if you received Christ this morning. Hosanna is the word of the day. We rejoice in Him. Thank you very much for worshiping with us.